compact, and I forget the name of it, but I brought it in this huge box. It had less memory than some of your smartphones. Seriously. And, you know, we barely had the internet at that time. This was the early 90s. And there was no such thing pretty much as the internet. You had what we call dial-up. Any of you remember dial-up? You'd call this number, and it was like a fax line, and you would log on, and maybe you could get one email out of that half hour. And forget about music, forget about images. It was all letters and digital information only. So that was what it was like in the early 90s. And I remember before the early 90s, before the computers, you guys remember this? These were encyclopedias. Okay, so before there were computers, before these were encyclopedias, it was called the encyclopedia. It was the top of the top. 26 books that weighed about 1,000 pounds. People would come to your house and say, do you want to buy the Encyclopedia Britannica? Because your kids are going to need it for school. If they're going to write a paper, they're going to do anything, they're going to need this information. You want to be educated, right? Anybody remember Encyclopedia Britannica? I remember. So we may even have some people that sold Encyclopedia Britannicas here in the audience. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you did pretty well. But something happened later, you know, and during this computer age, you know, what was the top company that was running the market at this time? Microsoft. Microsoft was running everything with Windows. And so before that, we had these, but Microsoft came along and they developed this program called Encarta. And so you get rid of 1,000 pounds and then you have a CD-ROM. And this started about 1993. There was a CD-ROM that had everything on those 26 books with images and all kinds of information on a CD-ROM. And so I had this software because, you know, as a minister, you got to be well informed. You can't just go up here and tell stories that aren't even true, right? That wouldn't be right. So if I was going to give a history lesson, you know, you got to give the goods, right? So I had this software, and you had to pay money. There's a price tag on here, but you can even find somewhere, I think you can go out and find it in eBay or something, the old version, the 1995, there's even a 2005. But basically, these guys got taken out of the market because another encyclopedia came along and replaced them. Anybody know what the name of that encyclopedia is? Wikipedia. You're batting 1,000, Nikki. You're going to get a prize. Wikipedia came along. And what Encarta did is they hired, you know, several professors, supervisors, investigators to put all this information together. They hired like this team of people to get all the stuff loaded and to check it. But guess what happened when these guys came along? You know how many people they hired? You know who loaded all the information for their encyclopedia? Guess who did it? Everybody. You and me. If you want to put information on Wikipedia, guess what? You can do that. They didn't have supervisors, professors. They had people checking it. But guess who formatted? Guess who put all the information on this platform? Everybody. And guess how much this platform costs? Zero. It's free. And so this is what I want to talk about tonight. What if the church was like Wikipedia? If we could, everybody put forth a little bit so that we populate not just an encyclopedia, but we populate a church and all of us give of ourselves and make a difference. All of us serve in some capacity. What would that look like? And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Everybody can accomplish more than somebody. Everybody can accomplish more than somebody. And you know what? The truth is in the church, we have a lot of somebodies. Okay? There are a lot of somebodies. But what if it were everybody? And if you're a guest here tonight, I want to welcome you. And we're all about trying to help people get into a growing relationship with God. And our mission is we want to create a church for people who don't go to church. That's our mission. What if everybody, not some people, not somebody, what if everybody was like Tom and Elfia Flint and all the other people that serve? What a difference that would make, where we unleashed something powerful. And what I want you guys to understand tonight is, just like Wikipedia, the church is a volunteer organization. And we all work together to fulfill God's mission. That's what we're all about. And so in order for us to go anywhere in the rest of this year, guess what it's going to take? Somebody? Everybody. And so I want you this week and in the weeks to come to really be thinking about, what are you doing to populate what is our church with something you have got and you've received especially from God? And so the goal tonight, given the fact that it's football season and you know, there was some conversation, I got to tell, there's some conversations going on before our service started, you know. There were some people talking about the 49ers and what happened to them the other night. There were other people talking about what happened to the Patriots and this and the other. But, and there's some of us that are involved in this thing called fantasy football. Okay? Tonight is not going to be about who's your favorite team. Or if you're in the fantasy football game, tonight is going to be, I want you to get off the sidelines and get on the field and be a player and hold the ball and be involved in the game. And because I know some of you are on the sidelines. You're playing fantasy football. You're pulling for somebody. You're saying, hey, I think you can do a great job. But it's time for you to get on play. It's time for you to put your cleats on. Say, well, I don't know, I'm scared. What if I fail? What if I fall? What if I don't do a good job? Hey, that's all part of the process. Just like somebody else, you know, if you go out on the field and you play, you may win, you may lose, but you play the game. And so I want to ask you tonight, we talked about this several weeks ago, to leverage your time in making a kingdom difference. You know, when we watched that Hope Worldwide video, one of the most powerful things that's happening even right now, you know, there's some flooding going on in Colorado. You've heard about it. Some people would even say it's of a biblical magnitude. There's so much water. And they've not had water like this, you know, in a long, long time. Guess who's on the ground helping flood victims? Your brothers and sisters of the Denver Church of Christ are acting as volunteers for the Red Cross. They've got their waders on, and they're going and helping families, rescuing families from their homes, helping them get their most precious belongings and getting out of the house before their house is basically washed away. Right now, today, we've got Hope Worldwide volunteers who are your brothers and sisters who are in there in Boulder, Colorado, helping people that are being, you know, their houses are being flooded out. You know, and it's not a little thing. It's not just possessions. There's people that are, their lives are being lost right now because of this flooding. And so we're going to look at the playbook, the original playbook. Anybody know what the original playbook is? Here it is. And we're going to go back and look in Acts chapter 6 that when you have a growing church, there's going to be challenges. So let's get into it. Acts chapter 6, if you want to follow along, the verses will be on the screen. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, we're going to look at this, how things went down. This was a growing church. They had thousands of members. And look what happened. Look what started to happen in the church. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, what should tell you about the first century church? It was exploding. It was exploding. And the Hellenistic Jews, now you got groups of people, Hellenistic Jews among them, complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So what was happening in the church as the church was growing? You got problems. You got needs. Something's not, and this is something that always happens with the growing church. When the number of people are growing, guess what happens? The number of problems. Okay, these are symptoms of a growing church. Some people, I don't like a growing church because that means the number of problems are going to grow. Well, guess what? That's what was happening in the original church. There were problems. There were needs that were not being met. These women complained. Okay, imagine coming to church and complaining. When the Bible tells you, do everything without what? Complaining. But they were complaining. Why? Because there were needs that were getting overlooked. And I have, and the elders, we get the job sometimes to sit down with people and they tell us their problems and what they don't like about our church. We had an appointment a number of weeks ago where we sat with a couple and they were telling us the things that they didn't like and why they were choosing not to be a part of our church. That was painful. But I told Dave when we walked out of that appointment, I said, Dave, I feel bad and we got a lot of things to work on. But this is symptomatic of a growing church. There's going to be problems in a growing church. When you have more people, guess what you have more of? More critics. You know, and some of us are like that. We're wired that way. You know, we see a problem and, hey, we know what how to fix it. We won't do very much to fix it, but we know how to fix it. We know how to say, hey, there's a problem. I don't know if you know this. And so there was more problems in the churches. And here's the big question mark. Were there enough resources? And the answer is, no, there was not. And so this is what they did. The apostles sat down and they had a meeting. So the 12 gathered, all the disciples together, and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So they had to make a choice. And in the past, as a minister, I've tried to do everything, you know, to be the somebody who does everything. And it doesn't work. And you end up frustrating the people, you end up frustrating yourself. So these guys made an incredibly wise decision. They said, it would not be right for us to neglect what? The ministry of the word of God and prayer. So what for a minister, what's his primary focus? What's he got to be doing more than anything else? He's got to be praying and he's got to be ministering the word, studying the Bible with people, preparing for lessons to feed the people, to help people. That's what a minister should be doing. Should he be waiting on tables? And that's what they said. And then, so we read on in verse 3. It says here, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So what did they do to fix the problem? They found some guys that had characteristics. And we're going to see it, but to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. They didn't just choose anybody. They chose some very special guys to take on that responsibility. Imagine that. Just to wait on tables, you got to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Just to wait on tables. Yeah. Because why? Even waiting on tables in the church is a sacred thing. And sometimes we look at things and go, well, I'm not really doing anything that's that significant. Let me tell you, anything you do in here, anything you do in Jesus' church is very significant. Even in your small group, in your faith group, if you're serving and you're helping out there, it's significant. It's huge. Don't minimize what you can do and what we do in the church. And so they selected these guys. Here's the list of the guys, their names. And this is actually where I got my son's name from. It came from this passage. And what you'll see from this is everybody can play a part. Before we go to the rest of the story, let's look at this other verse in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. What does the scripture tell you? You are where you are because God put you there. You're here because God put you here. I believe that. I believe I'm exactly where I need to be. I'm in the right spot in my life. You know, it's really sad when, and I've lived this way, when you start to ask yourself, God, am I in the right spot? Am I doing the right thing? And then your mind starts to wander. I remember as a missionary in Mexico asking the question, should I even be here? Maybe a Mexican could do a better job. And during that time of doubting, there was a big question about, you know, if the church was going to move forward. But once I decided, when I decided this, that I'm exactly where God wanted me to be, guess what happened to the church? It exploded. It exploded because I basically passed that on to other people and said, hey, you're exactly where you need to be. And too many of us, we're wandering through life wondering, is this where I need to be? When in fact, you are exactly where you need to be. And this is a big question you got to ask yourself tonight, is this: where does God want you? In his church, where does he want you? Does he want you on the sidelines? Does he? Does he want you off to the side, you know, kind of just, well, I'm just an attendee. I'm a church attender. I show up and I give my contribution and I'm just a member. Is that where God wants you to be? Or is there something more? And so that's what I want you to wrestle with. So let's read on about the story. Here's where I got my son's name. This proposal pleased the whole group. This whole thing, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and they also chose Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, and a convert to Judaism. This is the seven. You know who was the first martyr in the New Testament? It wasn't one of the apostles. It was one of these guys. So what does that tell you about God? Some of the heroes are not the ones on the top, you would think. These guys were the heroes. And even in our church, you would think, well, who's the hero? Is it the elders? Is it the evangelist? Is it the other staff members? Well, what we see here is, no. It may be the people that are serving in a capacity where it's really helping people. The guys who are waiting on tables were the first ones. And you can read more about it. I encourage you to read the rest of chapter 6 and 7 because it's powerful what happened in Stephen's life. So read on in verse 6. It says here, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. And after they laid their hands on them, what happened? It's time to go, guys. Go do your thing. And guess who was one of the first missionary evangelists that went out into this place called Samaria? Anybody know? Philip. Led by the Holy Spirit, he waited tables a little bit, and then guess what happened? The Holy Spirit said, hey, I need you to go and help some people in Samaria. And he met an Ethiopian eunuch who took the gospel to where? Back to Ethiopia. I mean, think about that. How God used these waiters, as we might want to call them, the guys that waited on tables to do incredible things. So I want us to talk about this. And this is nothing new. These are the ministries that we've talked about a few weeks ago. You know, kids ministry, our Kingdom Kids ministry, guest services, small groups. Here are some of this information. And we've collected, and I wanted to share, the week before last, I did a survey with the church to find out of our volunteers, how am I doing as far as helping and motivating and inspiring our volunteers? So I wanted to share this information with you because we did a survey, and it takes approximately between 80 and 100 people each Sunday to make our services go for the three services. That's a lot of volunteers. And so we got, of the 100 or so, we got 85 survey, answers back from all of our people. So I wanted to share the information. You want to know what they said, our volunteers? And this is kind of information for me. So these were, there was a breakdown. Circle a word that you would describe your emotion about volunteering. And here are the options. It's tiring. It's exciting. I'm burnt out. It's fun. I feel appreciative and busy. These were the six options that people chose from. So guess what were the two highest that people feel about volunteering in our church? And here's the number. It was close to 50 that they feel appreciative. About 40 felt it's fun. About 25 to close to 30. They said it was exciting. Now, here are the people that I want to talk to. These two right here. I want to talk to them. You know why I want to talk to them? Because I want to know, how can we help you not feel tired and not feel burnout? I want to help them. You were thinking I was going to go and challenge them. No, so we're not about that. We're about encouraging and helping. And so I got those individuals. They were all anonymous because I wanted people to be honest. I wanted them to be free. But I would say overall, people are feeling pretty good about volunteering. There's more information I wanted to share with you. There was a question on there. Are you fulfilled serving in your capacity as a volunteer? Of the 85, 70 said yes. And again, I want to talk to these three individuals that said no. Because I want to know, how can we help you feel more fulfilled? And then there were some people that said somewhat. I want to talk to them too. But I feel pretty good about this. We got 70 people of the 85 that serve on Sundays that said, I feel fulfilled. Okay, more questions. Do you feel like you're a good fit? Are you doing the right thing? And this includes the people that are doing our music ministry, that are presenting, the guys in the back, that are doing the tech services. Every aspect of our volunteer service was included in this. Are you in a right match? Do you feel like you're doing a right match? 70 said yes. It's a right fit for me. So I'm feeling good. 6 said no. You know why I want to talk to these 6? Because I want to find a better spot for them. What can you do that you feel like you have a right fit? You know, well, I want to sing. Well, we've got to talk about that because you may not have the goods to sing. Okay? You could sing in the children's ministry. It'd be awesome. Okay, we got to have a reality check. Okay? I wanted to play professional baseball when I was a kid. Didn't have the goods. And then these people here said somewhat. Okay, somewhat. And I want to try to help them feel like, hey, this is a better fit. And then the last one, do you feel appreciated as a volunteer of our church? 60 said yes, 6 said no, and I want to talk to them, and I want to tell them, and if you're in this category, I want to tell you, hey, I appreciate you, and what can I do, what can we do as a church to help you feel more appreciated for what you do? Because it's huge. Probably these 6 people right here make a huge difference, and they just don't know it. They may have disconnected their service and they're comparing and they're looking over their shoulder. Well, I don't feel like what I'm doing is as important as maybe what they're doing. And maybe I should preach the lesson on Sunday instead of, you know, Peter or Chris. Hey, I just want you to know what you're doing is more important from what my Bible says than some of the other stuff that we think is more important. Okay, so this is what, and then again, 19 said somewhat. So we got to get everybody up here feeling appreciated. And you can help me with this. If you see somebody volunteering in our church, don't just walk on by. Go up and say thank you. Let them know. If you're a parent of a child in our Kingdom Kids ministry, don't just walk in and check in your kids and walk away. Go up to the teacher and say, hey, listen, you could be up in the service, but you're down here helping and you're ministering to my children. You're giving faith to my children. Thank you. I want you to know that. That's something all of us can do. So let's spread the love around. Okay, and here's the last question that I ask, just like I asked Tom and Elvia, why do you volunteer? And these were the answers. The number one answer was gratitude. I serve because I'm grateful for what I have. I serve because I'm grateful. And then number two, like you heard Tom say, I'm serving and I'm volunteering because I'm serving God. I get it. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for him. Okay? And they get that. Number three is to meet a need, which is awesome. And then number four, it makes me feel good. You mean volunteering makes you feel good? I thought it's a burden. I thought it's hard. You know, and I tend to ask a lot of our volunteers, how would you be doing spiritually if you weren't doing anything at all? And all of them have told me you know what? I'd much rather be serving because it's kept me engaged. I don't even know how I would do spiritually if I weren't in the ministry. Because I'm that kind of person. I got to be all in or it's not going to be good. Okay? I've got to have that. And so this is awesome. This tells you this is a picture of our volunteer base in our church. So on a given Sunday, how many people do we have volunteering? Close to 100. How many people could volunteer on a given Sunday? Remember Wikipedia. Everybody is better than somebody. The fact that we have 100 volunteers on Sunday, and not just Sunday, but throughout the week, because it's not just about Sunday, you can do it in your small group. And this is something, other ways to serve. Guess what's coming up? Our months of service. Will Neal came up to me, and he said, hey, bro, you're talking about serving in the church in these areas, dot, 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 dot. But what about this stuff? You left this out. And I said, you know what, Will? You're right. Because it's not just about us serving the church. It's us serving who? The community. And so he recommended, hey, let's get the food bank going again. But we need someone to head that up. See, because you can't have a volunteer service with just people. You got to have somebody who's going to coordinate it, organize it, lead it, you know, do the inventory. Here's what we have. Here's what we need. And then you've got a team around them. Then we've got our foster program for the foster children in Southern California. We need mentors. We even need some families that would say, you know what? We've got this empty bedroom and we've got time. We can foster a child. And some of our families are doing that. And it's awesome. You know, and it doesn't have to be just fostering, but you can mentor one of the kids in the foster program. What that means is 1 hour a week, you could go and spend an hour with a foster child. You know what a difference that would make? And then even take them from, you know, they have these future family conferences where they take these kids to see if they're a right match for other foster families. What if they had somebody that's going to walk with them and be them, just be a friend? Through all their bouncing around to different families. What a difference that would make for these foster children. 18,000 foster children in the Los Angeles area. And the statistics are staggering of what happens to these kids later in life. We've even got members of our church that were raised in foster homes. And it makes a huge difference if they just have somebody involved in their lives. That's a way you can serve and volunteer in the community. That's even better than, you know, being a part of our guest services, because it's so much more powerful. It makes our light shine outside the church. You know, and then the sick and shut-in ministry. You know, we tried to upload that. There wasn't a lot of traction, but we've got members who are sick and shut in their homes. What would it be like to have someone steer that up, coordinate it, and run it so that every member, when they're laid out sick at home, is going to be paid a visit. We'll bring them communion. We'll help them get online, you know, so they can watch the service and be a part of it. But we need someone to head that up and run that ministry. And then our prayer ministry, to reload that. I mean, we still have it, but it's not what it was at one time. That these people, like when we walk out the service, you'll see some people sitting out on the benches on Sunday during service. And you say, why aren't you in the service? Because we're praying for the service while it's going on. They're praying for me while I'm speaking. What a difference that makes. A prayer ministry. And then something we want to start is brand new, because this right now is the way people connect. The web ministry. And Fernando Chavez came to me and he said, you know what? We've got to have a greater presence on the web. I appreciate our website, but we're not making the most of the opportunities that we have to connect with people. Because when people want to go to church, guess where they start? Online. They'll go, hey, I want to go to where's a local church? And they'll put in some characteristics. So you've got to know these kinds of things. The Singles Ministry, Singles Impact, you guys use meetups, right? What a great example. What if we had meetups for all of our small groups? The time, the place, what we're going to be talking about. And you guys have done a phenomenal job in the Singles Impact Ministry, and I want to congratulate you for that, because you're on the cutting edge here with the web ministry. So let's wrap this up. For volunteering, how can we get equipped? Look at what the Bible gives us and how we are equipped to serve and be those Wikipedia people to populate what we do for our church. Ephesians chapter 2, and you can make a note of these. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. It says, God has chosen us for what? He had mercy on us for what? So that you and I could do what? Good works. He chose us to do good works. Not just to be on the sidelines, but to do good things, to do things that will make a difference. Then number two, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Guess what my job is? My job is to prepare you for works of service. That's what this verse says. So God gives ministers to help us prepare. And then number three is we have 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The scriptures, the Bible equips us. It gives us everything we need by correcting, rebuking, everything we need so that the man of God can serve in any good work. And then this fellowship we have tonight, because we want to leave a little time for fellowship, right? Hebrews 10, verse 24, what do we get? What equips us? We get encouraged. And I want to make sure before you leave here tonight that you encourage somebody. That you don't leave, I don't know, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of day you have. Well, I'm not feeling encouraged. We'll encourage somebody, and you'll see the difference that it makes. But I get encouraged when I come to church. Okay? It encourages me to see you and to be a part of this rather than sitting at home watching I don't know what. And then the last one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. The scriptures and God's Holy Spirit empowers us. And so tonight I want to empower you. Our church needs to go to a whole nother level. And there's something happening in our world today where more people are taking an initiative, like examples like Wikipedia, where things are happening, people are contributing to things, and they're making it better by connecting and collaborating. So tonight I want to ask you, would you collaborate with us to help us grow the church? Just like you saw the examples of Wikipedia. And we can do incredible things. So who's going to replace Tom and Elvia Flynn? Let me get a show of hands. Who's going to replace Tom and Elvia Flynn? Tom, Elvia, look around. That's pretty awesome. Those of you who raised your hand, you got the message. Those of you that didn't, you can go online and you can watch it again. Okay? You can go back over it, okay, because you missed it. You were texting or you were checking your email. You missed it, okay? But it's not about grading. What the whole point of tonight is, everybody is much better than somebody. Everybody is greater than somebody. We don't need a somebody. We need everybody. Amen. And how did the story end? With the seven table waiters. So the word of God spread. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Not only did the tables get taken care of and those widows get food, and food's very important that people get fed, but guess what happened as a result of more people helping out? The word spread. And I believe this is what's going to happen in our church, brothers and sisters, as we step forward and say, hey, I want to do something. I want to help. In your small group, you know, there's different responsibilities going on in your small group. You can do something there. There's an evangelistic leader. There's a shepherd leader. There's a needs leader. There's a hospitality leader. In one group, there's four different responsibilities. And you can come up with an endless list. I'm going to be the encourager in my small group. What would that be like? That everybody walks into their small group saying, hey, I've got something to give to make this even a better small group. So I'll leave you with this. Everybody is better than somebody. And who's that everybody? Here we are. So let's close out with a prayer, and we're going to leave some time for some sweet fellowship. And I just want to say I appreciate every one of you and the gifts that you have for God. And may He bless you and use you, and may He use our church to do incredible things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for every single volunteer that we have in our church. Thank you for people like the Flints. Thank you for people that are serving right now making sure that the sound works and the lights are on and everything goes smoothly tonight. Thank you for our children's ministry, God, that there's people right now taking care of our kids. I pray you'll bless them, but help all of us, God, in some shape or fashion to do something to make Jesus' body healthy, strong, and make his light shine. Father, thank you that you've called us to be a city on a hill and not to cover up, but to let our light shine. I thank you for everybody here. Please bless us and help us. Thank you especially for Jesus, who gave everything and gave us the opportunity to give back. Please be with us. We love you. Bless the rest of our week. And we pray for this weekend, God, that it can be an incredible celebration of the opportunity to bring our friends so they can hear your word. We love you. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.